Remain standing. Get your Bible, Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And just seeing the times are getting away from us, so let's get right after it tonight. Appreciate you again being here in the Lord's house this evening. I want to read this psalm in its entirety. We've already spent, I think, two services on this, and so we'll draw it to a close tonight if the Lord will help us. You never can tell. Amen. He may park us on something and just kind of sit down on it. And I hope y'all are fine with that, because that's all I know to do, just study, get up here and preach, and wherever the Lord parks us and however He brings it out, that's just fine with me. Amen. Psalm 94, the Bible said, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelled in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. He shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cast them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. The author of this psalm, we have said, seems to be unknown, and it doesn't seem to be a specific background that we can lay our finger upon and identify as to the timeline of when this was written. David seems to be the one considered by many to have been the author of this psalm, and no doubt we could look to David's life and other psalms David wrote, and there would be a lot of similarities and a lot of things that would correlate to David's life. And we understand that some even speculate this psalm to be authored by an anonymous man in the days of the reign of King Manasseh. And that's an interesting way to look at this psalm in light of some things we'll say this evening in regard to laws and a nation going away from God and the wicked and iniquitous rulers who are leading a nation one way, and the righteous are there bearing the punishment and the burden of that. And no doubt that is certainly part of the background of this psalm. This psalm is, as Spurgeon said, another instance of the good man perplexed by the prosperity of the ungodly, cheering his heart by remembering that there is, after all, a king in heaven by whom all things are overruled for good. And so in this psalm, we find that it's in a series of psalms, in a section of psalms, 93 through 100, that are predominantly about the Lord reigning and that magnify our God's kingship. In fact, we're going to read over and over. We began in 93 and in verse number 1, the Lord reigneth. And that phrase is found throughout those 7 or 8 psalms over and over again. The Lord reigneth, the Lord reigneth. And those psalms magnify the fact that God is absolutely in control. But when we come to Psalm 94, the psalmist seems to be concentrated on the fact that it looks like that the wicked are being successful and are in rule, and that they're the ones that are calling the shots. And we find here that this psalm is right in the midst of being reminded that the Lord reigneth. And it may look like the wicked are getting by, and it may look like the wicked are in control, but make no mistake about it. Amen. The Lord is in charge, and the Lord is reigning tonight. When we think about this psalm, you remember we said several weeks back as we give you the introduction that this psalm we found in our study, it was sung on Wednesdays, that being the middle day of the week. It is a reminder that is in the middle of our storms and that when we struggle the most. And it's in the middle of those times as this psalmist is going through looking around and what he's feeling within himself, what he's going through, that he is doubting, he is struggling, he is worried, he is, as we'll see in a moment again, he is slipping. And he feels himself kind of in unstable territory, and yet it's at these times we should find our hope, as the psalmist does, in the Lord, and we will make it to the finish line. And if you think about your life in regard to it, maybe your entirety of your life being in, amen, being likened to that of being in a week. Amen, you get saved in the beginning of the week, your life really begins. And somewhere in the middle of your life, you're going to run up on storms that are going to perplex your faith. It's going to cause you to let your foot slip. It's going to cause you to wonder what in the world is going on. Amen, and that's where the psalmist is. But as he looks to the Lord, he's assured, amen, that my friend, the end of the week is coming and he can finish faithful. And so what is going on? What is going on in the midst of this psalmist life? Verse 18 is our thought. As we center all these verses around, the psalmist says that it's in this time that his foot slippeth, simply meaning to waver, to shake or fall, to be moved or removed, and is used as a word that is used of a wobbling action, response, or condition. And so in verse 18, when he said to the Lord, when I said, my foot slippeth. Amen. There came a time where he got to a place, Brother Jack, he looked to heaven, and he said, Lord, my foot slippeth. I am wobbling. I am wavering. I am being shaken. I feel like though I am falling. And sometimes the things we face in life make us feel that way. And we noted the transparency of this psalmist here reveals that even saints are not as stable and strong as we should be. And we are always in need of the Lord's helping hand. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you admitting my foot slippeth. Amen. Because when you get there, that's all you can say. Amen. If your foot's slipping, don't act like you got it all nailed down. And when you are wavering and you are wobbling, amen, don't act like you got everything just nailed down. Amen, look up to God and say, my foot slippeth. I don't know how to do another step. I don't know how to make it another mile of the journey, much less make it to the finish line. And so we find here in the transparency of this psalmist that it is possible for even saints to slip. It's not possible that saints would be lost. It's not possible that the saved would draw back unto perdition. We are not of those that draw back. Amen. But we can wobble at times. We can be shaken at times. We can at times waver and need the Lord to bring strength and stability. And so we're preaching Psalm 94 in light of this thought when saints began to slip. And we looked at the concern of the slipping saint in verses 1 through 11. As he looks on to the workers of iniquity, he considered their victory, verse 3 and 4. He considered their victims in verses 5 and 6. He considered their vanity in verses 7 through 11. But in verses 1 and 2, in light of all of that, he is more concerned with God getting glory. He is concerned with the vengeance and the justice of God and the glory of God and the righteousness of God being displayed. He is interested in God revealing and showing himself in the midst of what the psalmist is going through. And so, child of God, when your foot is slipping, amen, dear saint of God, when you began to slip, and you look around you and go, dear God, the wicked are getting by, and I'm getting beans, and what in the world's going on? Amen. Get concerned with God showing up. Amen. God being lifted up and God magnifying himself in your life and in your situation. We looked at the contrast of the slipping saint in verses 12 through 15. As the contrast seen in this psalmist to the workers of iniquity is simply that the child of God faces chastisement and cannot continue in sin without God's discipline on his life. That is our contrast. When we look around and we see what is going on in our day, and it looks like the wicked are prospering, the ungodly are getting by. Amen. When our foot begins to slip in our walk with God in the days and the times that we're living, amen, it ought to bring some comfort to our heart that our God won't let us get by with sin. And we preach a whole message and give you a series of thoughts there out of verses 12 through 15 on the discipline of the child of God, the dispersing of it, the defense of it, and chastisement is the defense in our life that God puts there to keep us from destroying our life. A declaration of discipline and the chastisement of God's chastisement is God's way of letting us know that he cares and is not done with us. Verse 14, the direction of his discipline in verse number 15 is that it leads us into the paths of righteousness. It is discipline. And the contrast of that chastisement in our life against the wicked, it, my friend, keeps you and I where we need to be. Thank God for his chastening hand. Amen. In the moment it doesn't seem pleasant. In the moment it is grievous. Amen. But when it is done, it brings forth peace. It brings forth hope. It brings forth godliness. It brings forth a contrast. Amen. Yes, it may look like the wicked's getting by, but their lives are being destroyed by sin. And our God loves us more than that to let us destroy our lives. Number 3 tonight, when saints begin to slip, look at the confession of the slipping saint in verses 16 through 19. A confession of the slipping saint. And this is really where we derived our thought from, is that the psalmist makes a very transparent confession. He doesn't try to put on a show. He doesn't try to sound more spiritual than he is in the moment in which he is living. And I think that hinders us sometimes, and though our foot be slipping, we don't want to appear as though we're vulnerable. We think, well, if people know how weak I really am, then they'll think bad of me. Well, they think bad of you anyway, so just get on past it And understand, we all slip sometimes. We all, amen, we all have these times of weakness. And it won't hurt us to make a confession about, amen, those times in our life. You say, but preacher, we ought not be weak. And we ought not be weary. I understand that, but let's be honest about it. We get there at times. Amen. And so consider some things in this confession. Amen. There's some things he's going to confess about, amen, where he's at, and he's going to make some confession, amen, about what God is doing for him in the midst of him slipping. Amen. Consider number one in this confession, there is a confession of his assault. A confession of his assault. Notice with me in verse number 16 to begin this point. He said, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And you say, preacher, what do you see there? Here's what I see there. Is that the psalmist is speaking again transparently, and he's revealing his own weakness in his fight. He is saying, I need somebody to stand up because I can't. I need somebody who will rise up because I cannot. Amen. He is confessing, making a confession of his assault. At the workers of iniquity are against him. At the evildoers have come against him. Who will? He is saying, I know I can't do it. And I'm looking around. I don't see many others that are any stronger than I am. And he is calling upon someone. Amen. This assault. He's saying, I'm being assaulted. There's opposition in my life. And what he is confessing here in this assault is not just the opposition, but the need for one that is stronger, the need for one that is greater than himself who will advocate for him. Amen. Have you ever felt like I can't take it on? Amen. That's where the psalmist is, a confession of his assault. Amen. He's confessing, I am weak. And I need somebody stronger than me and stronger than my enemy that can take them on. Amen. Consider the confession of the assault is not, amen, just the fact that he's confessing there is an assault and that he needs help in the assault. But notice, he really points to something I think we, amen, may need to focus in on for just a few moments here. Amen. But he confesses the assault that he is under is greatest in his own thoughts and the multitude of those thoughts that are within him. Look with me in verse number 19, where he said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me. In the multitude of my thoughts within me. Amen. What he is saying there, if you bring all these verses into context, the psalmist is saying, I've got a whole lot of things going on upstairs. I've got a whole lot of thoughts that are going on and running through my mind and things that are causing me to worry. Amen. It's not just my enemy. They're there. I'm not denying that they're not there. Amen. But my greatest enemy is my own thoughts and the multitude of things that I ponder and can't let go of and can't get past. And the wonderments and the questions and the trying to reason all of this out and the cause for why I'm going through what I'm going through. He's saying my mind just won't shut off. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there where, amen, you're going through something and you don't know what to do and there is an enemy and there is, amen, something going on. But to complicate all that and make complexity out of all of that, amen, the greatest assault is not even necessarily the enemy. It's the way we think about, amen, what it is we're going through. I've shared this with you before, an eye-opening day. Amen, for me as a child of God and as a preacher, it didn't come from, amen, somebody behind the pulpit. I was just young in the ministry. And I'm talking about fighting hell 10 acres at a time. and too young really to know what all and how bad it really was. Amen. But just knowing, man, I feel like I'm dying. I feel like there's no way out. And I would spend nights just laboring thoughts and how am I going to fix this? How am I going to make them happy? How am I going to get them settled down? How am I going to get them to drop their sword? And just days and nights my wheels spinned. And was riding down the road one day and listening to Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey came on and he said this study just came in. He said 90% of what we worry about never even comes to pass. And he began to give the study and all the numbers. And the more he talked, the more upset I got. Amen. I want to kick my dashboard in because, amen, in that moment of time, I'm worried, man, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And here's a man on the radio. Hey man, it says 90% of what I'm fretting over ain't even gonna happen. Hey man, can I say, hey man, a lot of times when we're slipping, our enemy and the ones we view as our enemy, hey man, is not where the assault is coming from. And the psalmist makes that confession. He says it ain't just my enemy, and he's gonna deal with them, and there's a reality to that. Amen. But he says, I know that the multitude of my thoughts is what is driving me out of my mind. Amen. And so there must be an acknowledgement of that. Amen. Quit blaming everybody for how you feel. Amen. Quit blaming everybody for the situation that you're in. And understand many of these assaults that we face, amen, come from the multitude of the thoughts that are within us. Amen. Notice there is a confession of his assault. There is a confession of his assistance. Amen. In verse number 17, I love this verse. He said, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelled in silence. He said, I felt like I was dying on the inside. I felt like my soul was about ready to die. He said, unless the Lord had been my help, that would surely have been my end. And so he confesses that he is doomed to fail. He confesses that on his own he is going to die. Brother Ryder, he confesses he knew he had sent assistance his way. Amen. He knew that the Lord had been his help. Amen. Can I say that's a good thing to confess when saints begin to slip? Amen. That you don't stand a chance. Amen. You can't fight your enemy. You can't whip the multitude of your thoughts. Amen. You can't rise above it. You can't stand against it. God is in heaven and is desiring and is willing and is definitely able, amen, to be our help. And the psalmist makes that confession of his assistance. Amen. It wasn't the government bailout that was his help. Amen. It wasn't his political affiliation being in power that was his help. It wasn't bigger amounts in the bank account that was his help. It wasn't the promotion on the job that was his help. It wasn't good news in the family that was his help. In fact, my friend, when this psalm ends, there's not one thing about his situation that's changed. Amen. Nobody has changed the war that they have raged against him. Amen. Nobody, my friend, has laid down their sword. Amen. The psalmist is in the midst of it all, and he says, I know that had the Lord not been helping me, I wouldn't have taken the step that I just took. I may have felt like I was slipping. I may have been wobbling a little bit on the axle. Amen. But he said, I know I just took the step I made because God helped me. Amen. I've lived another day because God helped me. And when I come through the other side, I will stand victorious. I will stand with triumph in my soul. I'll cross the finish line because the Lord has been my help. Amen. Some of y'all waiting on your situation to change. You waiting on, Amen. People to change. You're waiting on. Amen. The world to turn around. And guess what? It may never come. Amen. Till we get on the other side. How am I going to make it, preacher? Amen. Unless the Lord had been our helm, we had not made it this far. Amen. We wouldn't have the hope we'll make it on tomorrow. Amen. Because I got news for you. If the Lord don't come back soon, amen, it ain't not only ain't going to get no better, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Amen. You say, dear God, we ain't got a chance. Yeah, we do. Amen. Because we've got good assistance tonight. Amen. Oh, we got real good assistance tonight. And when we stand on heaven's yonder shore, you know what I think we'll say. Amen. Whether this is David or some anonymous writer of a psalm, amen, we've never heard of before, we'll stand side by side. Amen. And we'll quote Psalm 94:17. Unless the Lord had been my help, our soul would have dwelt in silence. Had the Lord not helped me, I'd have not made it to yonder heaven shore. Amen. And so a confession of His assault and a confession of His assistance. Let me give you a third part of His confession that I see and found in our very text verse where He said, when I said, my foot slippeth, I love what He said, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Amen. Now He just said over there, He just said back there in verse 16, amen, I can't rise up, I can't stand up, but now He said, amen, I may not could have risen and stood, but the Lord held me up. Amen. Amen. He said, the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I call this a confession of His assurance. Amen. For in the midst of all of this, again, I would remind you in this point of the psalm. And in verse 23, when the psalm comes to a conclusion, there is absolutely nothing about what the psalmist has been facing that changes. Amen. The war is still there. The enemies are still real. Amen. All these things are still going on around him. And yet he confesses in the middle of it, and there is an assurance that abides in his heart. Amen. You see, not only had the Lord helped him, and he confesses the Lord held him. Amen. You say, what does that mean? Well, amen, held me up. Amen means the Lord propped me up. Amen. He leaned me in upon His staff. Amen. I rested in His everlasting arms of grace. Amen. Them big old arms that flung the stars and the sun and the moon into orbit. Amen. Them arms and them hands that, amen, hold everything in a perfect balance throughout the universe and the galaxy. He said that hand came to little old me, a little old speck of dirt, and propped me up. And it held me there by His mercy. Amen. Notice what He said. He said, thy comforts delight my soul. I got a multitude of crazy things going on up here. Amen. Can I be honest with us tonight? Most of us have crazy in our head. Amen. The things we think and the perceptions we have and the things we dream of about ourselves and others and the battle. Amen. Paul Harvey said 90% of that ain't even so. Amen. Here's what the psalmist said. Amen. But Larry, he said, while all that was going on up there, amen, in the middle of all of that, amen, he said, thy comforts delight my soul. Amen. Now that statement comes with an imagery. Amen. There's a word picture being portrayed. Amen. In the Hebrew poetical form. Amen. You say, preacher, what is it? Amen. It is that of a troubled, startled, a scared, weeping newborn. Amen. That has just found comfort delivered upon its mother's breast. Amen. Like a newborn becomes, my friend, startled. Amen. By a sound that it's never heard. Amen. By something that is going on around it that it does not know. Amen. It feels into its very soul. And what does it do? It begins to weep for fear. And baby begins to weep because it, amen, does not know. It's never encountered this before. Amen. But if anything can bring comfort, amen, when bouncing it on, bouncing that baby on its daddy's knee doesn't do it. Amen. When singing nursery rhymes do not calm its soul. Amen. You can lay it upon its mother's breast. Amen. And ain't just something about, amen, leaning in upon its mother's breast. Amen. That baby's soul begins to be soothed. Amen. There's something about being on mama's breast. Amen. That just makes it forget about what's been going on around it. Are you listening? The psalmist said, in the midst, amen, of all that crazy junk going on in my head, all them things I imagined, all those perceptions I had, amen, in the middle of it, it didn't even change. Amen. Nothing about my situation changed. Amen. The wicked are still there, and the ungodly are still there, and the battle's still against me. And all of a sudden, in the midnight hour, the God of glory, amen, took me into His bosom and fed my soul. Amen. And gave me an assurance. Amen. Can I say tonight, I'm glad. Amen. When my foot's slipping, my God knows what I need. Amen. And when my friend, the saints, bouncing me on their knee. Amen. When the pats on the backs and the brothers, I'm praying for you. Amen. Don't seem to be enough. I'm glad. Amen. Our God, in the midst of all of that, amen, can bring us in and comfort us. Amen. And give us mercy from His breast and give us grace from His bosom. Amen. To let us know that everything's going to be all right. Amen. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what the evildoers have said. I don't know what the workers of iniquity have done. And I know tonight there's a God in glory. Amen. He ain't got to wait till the battle's died. He don't have to wait till the end is completed. Amen. To reach down to the children of God and give you a double portion of assurance. Amen. To dry your weeping eyes and to calm your dying spirit. Amen. Friend, to raise you back up to a goodness of life. Amen. Right there in the face of your enemy. Amen. Our God gives an assurance. I don't know if that helps you tonight, but I'm telling you, child of God, amen, if you'll let God help you. Amen. If we'll let God help us. Amen. If somehow we'll still our mind for a little bit. Somehow we'll, amen, put the craziness out of our thoughts. Amen. You'll know there's a God in heaven that's right there with you. Amen. And wouldn't it be something if you found out tonight it ain't as bad as you thought it was? Amen. Oh, it's bad and it's going to get worse. But, amen, what if God was to try to let you know tonight? Amen. Yeah, it's bad, but I'm with you. And yeah, it seems like an impossible situation. Amen. But I ain't going nowhere. Amen. What if He assured you tonight by His mercy? Amen. That my friend, He was for you and He was strong. He was on your side and that His mercy and His grace and His presence would be enough. Amen. What if He had an assurance tonight? Amen. That would just put you in rest. Amen. Would you not? Amen. Would you not receive that tonight? Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad there is a God. And the psalmist is confessing it. He's confessing it not at the end, not when it's over, right in the middle of what he's going through. He said, God delighted my soul. Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm glad this evening. Amen. That our God is a God of giving assurance. Amen. The confession of the slipping saint. Amen. Well, amen. I gotta quit. It's after 8 o'clock in the confession of the slipping saint. I'm glad that psalmist stood up, Brother Larry, and said, I'm gonna tell you what God can do. He did it. He did it, friend. He said God done it. Y'all believe the psalmist, don't you? Hey, if you don't believe me, would you believe a Holy Ghost inspired psalmist who couldn't lie? Hey, man, he wrote her down, the word of God. He said, right in the middle of all that's going through, even what was going on up here, amen. God brought me into his bosom.
Yes,
fed me from his breast.
Hey.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'll get the rest. I got too much in them last three verses, four verses, the confidence of the slipping saint. Amen. We can have confidence even when we feel like we ain't got none. So how can that be? Because our lack of confidence should be in ourself.
Amen.
And the totality of our confidence ought to be in God. So when we have no confidence, no self-confidence, we can have sovereign confidence. Amen. And that's what he had, his confidence. Amen. I'll just throw it out and then we'll see what God does if he'll let me come back and preach it. He's confident in verse 20 and 21 of who God will side with. He said, they're gathering themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Verse 21, but notice what he asked. And really it's a rhetorical question. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? He's talking to the Lord. Are you going to let them have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? He said, they're passing laws to justify and make legal what you said's wrong.
Amen.
Amen. As if God was going to side with them because they legalized it in the political realm. Oh boy, we could preach there. Amen. We could preach there all the things going on in our country that's happening that have been legalized that God says is sin, and not only sin, abominations.
Right.
And now you're living in a... I ain't preaching this. I got to move on. I got to quit. But you're living in a generation that even folk in the church are saying, well, they passed laws and legalized it, so we can't say nothing about it. I promise you, there's one ain't going to side with them, and that's the Lord God of glory.
That's right.
Amen. God, listen, the psalmist said, I am confident of who God is going to side with.
Yes,
amen. He'll always side with those who honor him. He'll always side with those who honor his word. He'll always side with those who desire, amen, hunger and thirst after righteousness and desire to live a godly life. That's who God will side with. He has confidence of who God will shelter. In verse 22, he speaks as though God is his defense and the rock of his refuge. And then verse number 23, he is confident of who God will sever.
Amen.
The psalm ends, nothing has changed.
Amen.
As far as the situation. But the once slipping saint now has stable footing, saying, I know in the end, it may look bad for me now and it may look well for them now, but when this thing ends, it will not be well with them and it will be well with me.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're thankful that we can have that confidence. You say, preacher, I'm looking around at all this going on in this world, and I'll be honest, preacher, it's got me a little bit worried. Well, be confident of this. God has it all under control.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll see. Maybe I've got some things I'd like to preach, especially that 20 and 21, who God sides with. A lot of things we can preach right there. We'll see what God will do. How's that sound? All right. Heavenly Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this psalm, the encouragement it's been, Lord, the practicality of it, Lord, where we live so many times, Lord, looking up to heaven, Lord, talking to ourselves, Lord, about our own wavering, our own foot slipping, Lord, how you work in our life, and Lord, what you've shown us in this psalm that we can do, Lord, what we can have in those times, Lord, to bring us back, Lord, to being stable, that, Lord, we can reach the finish line by the help of our God, by your mercy and by your grace. Help the church tonight. Help us to get a hold of these things. Lord, I pray tonight for those that Lord, are in need. Would you bring them into your bosom And would you, Lord, delight them, delight their soul, Lord, with your comforts. Lord, they may have been startled, and Lord, they may be stumped, and Lord, they may be slipping. They may be weeping on the inside. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the assurance that can only truly come from God would flood their soul, and that you do great things for them. We love you tonight, Lord. Bless the church remainder this week. Bless us on the upcoming Lord's Day. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the power of God would fall in this place. For all that you do, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.